You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
From the newsroom at Eater, I'm Amanda Kloot.
And I'm Daniel Janine.
And this is Eater's Digest, a show about all things food and dining.
With a little help from the biggest names in food and the journalists here at Eater, we explain what is going on in restaurants, kitchens, and dining rooms around the world.
Today on the show, we are talking about dating.
Yeah.
Special Valentine's Day episode.
It's something we talk about a lot at the office. What are the good moves for a first date?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we brought in the culinary angle because we are Eater.com, you know, the restaurant specialist. So obviously this is going to have a food side to it. So what I did is I brought in two journalists from Vox's The Goods because you were away.
Yep.
Rebecca Jennings and Julia Rubin. And then I invited a whole slew of Eater editors to talk about their first date culinary moves. What to do,
awesome.
What not to do on a first date.
And then I wasn't here for this. I have not listened yet. I'm so excited.
Yeah.
Do Rebecca and Julia then judge them on their moves?
We kind of all, I mean, no one gets judged too hard, but it's just like some of the moves are real funny.
Okay, cool.
Amanda, you haven't dated for a long time.
That's true.
You know?
I
How
mean,
long?
In a,
Since pre-food professional, right?
Yes, I started dating my now husband 15 years ago.
Jeez, Louises.
Yeah.
Wow.
So really out of the game. I mean, I go on dates with him, but it's not the same. That's not what you're talking about.
No.
Mm-mm.
You guys have a certain, I imagine by this time, a certain level of comfort with each other.
Yeah. Not a lot of nervousness there.
Yeah. Do you have any moves yourself? Do you have any things that you think work?
I mean, I mostly just think about for first dates. Is that what we're talking about? First dates or dating?
First dates.
Ability to get out if you need to, you know? Like, can it be quick and efficient?
Yeah.
Tasting menu would be the worst first date.
Well, no spoilers. But
yeah. Unless you really know the person, you already like them, you're already friends.
Or you're just a really curious person who's open to an experience no matter how good or bad it is.
Sure.
Yeah.
That would just be my line of thinking. Like, this could go really badly.
Mm-hmm.
So let's keep it to a drink.
But bad can be good if you appreciate content.
That's true. Yeah. You know? I mean, everything can be a story.
After we talked to the editors, I brought in Jack Schramm, who is the head bartender at probably my favorite bar in the world, Existing Conditions, which I used to live right next door to.
Mm-hmm.
Jack sees a shit ton of first dates and dates in general. And he has, frankly, seen me on a bunch of bad ones.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he is a very good guy. I couldn't get him to make fun of me as much as I wanted, but there's some good moments where he talks about, where he gets some Dan analysis going. Before we jump in, if you love this program, please make sure to subscribe and rate it and send it off to a friend who you think would also like it. Anyway, so let's jump in. Here's Rebecca and Julia. Julia, you would describe yourself as not so much of a dater, but I would say that you are a very calculated and analytical person. So you say you don't go on that many dates, but I bet however many you do go on are very precisely planned and then also picked over after to really think about the decisions you've made and the spaces, locations. Do you any comment on that?
Wow.
Yeah.
Hate to date. Hate to date, but definitely, you know, love to plan.
Love to plan. You love to plan.
I love to plan.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I do have thoughts about where we're going, what we're doing.
Rebecca Jennings, you have written, I don't know if you've written about dating, but you've certainly written about dating apps.
Yep.
You have your ear to the ground in terms of first dates, what's going right, what's going wrong, and I'm sure you've got a pop in group chat where you've heard about it all.
Of course, frequent dater.
We're gonna start here with the panel, and then we're gonna bring in a bunch of Eater editors and ask them what their moves are. But Julia, what is your advice for first dates?
I mean, I feel like my move is pretty basic, and I would be surprised if this was not the standard. But I think like your first date should probably be at a bar. I also say this, by the way, as someone who like doesn't really drink and also like always wants a snack. However, you have to like hedge hedge your bets here. You meet at a bar, you plan to be there for an hour, you have a drink. We'll see what I get. Maybe it will be a cherry Coke. Like maybe it won't be. Wow. I don't know. Maybe I'll be more fun. I don't know. And then either, you know, if it's going well, either there's snacks at the bar or you go to a second location where there's going to be food. You do not want there to be a wait anywhere. Messes with the flow. Feels really weird.
Yeah.
But also the other thing is like this is a date with like a stranger or a near stranger, right?
Right.
And I feel like I'm not a stranger dater necessarily. So that move is totally different if it's someone that you know. If it's someone that you know, then like, yeah, like go to dinner, maybe do like a two-parter, a three-parter. Like the best date I've ever been on was like a like Crossborough, like three location place, very thoughtful location for dinner.
Yeah.
But that, you know, again, not what you want to do with a stranger.
Have a simple first date at a bar, but have options for moving on if that's what you want to do. And be considerate and be thoughtful about those options going into it. So whether
Absolutely.
That's a location, a neighborhood, even like maybe having a secret reservation for a dinner after.
Whoa.
I'm just saying. I'm extrapolating here. I don't know. I wasn't saying that's what you do.
I don't know. That would feel a little too openly calculated. but yeah, I think like do something low-key. Have ideas for the next place and maybe even the next place that you would want to go after. But like you want it to be like low key, low stakes with an exit plan.
Jennings?
I completely agree with that, except for my first dates are always just bars. It's bar hopping. I like to eat before a date. I do not want to eat food with a stranger on the first date.
Interesting.
I mean, yeah, the one date I've ever done a dinner date on was someone that I kind of already knew, like you said. It's much easier to like sit across from someone for 2 hours when you like at least know that you have talked before. You have had one in-person conversation.
Yeah.
My move is to go to a kind of bar that like looks like a dive bar, but it's fancy, you know, like a millennial dive bar with like a like we're very chill here, but it's $14 cocktails.
Right.
So yeah, that's my move. And then if it's really good, go to another bar. If it's really good, go to a third bar. Yeah.
So never a food thing. What about a snack? Like, what about if they have olives or something at one of those? I'm sure they will at one of those millennial fake dive bars.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Totally. I don't really consider that like a big deal.
Sure.
You know, food thing though.
Yeah, I think
the food is not. If the food is secondary on my dates,
I want to open up the idea that like a tasting menu is not the biggest disaster on the planet. You guys are grimacing so hard.
Yeah. A tasting menu is not something I want with like a boyfriend of 5 years. Like it truly has to be like very, very rare and like a very particular place and reason and whatever that we're going.
Yeah.
This is crazy. This is already crazy to me.
I'm waiting for you to make your case.
Yeah.
I think it's insane, but continue.
I just think like we have this idea of it being so insane. And really, if you go through those, the amount of time spent with the other person, like even if it's bad, it's fine. Like it's just like, it's kind of a story. Right. And I think—
Where are you going on a tasting menu date?
I'm just saying hypothetically. Okay. I've done it a couple times, but I've done it first.
On a first date?
I've done a first date tasting menu, yeah.
Who was paying for that?
Me, but it was a restaurant that I wanted to go to check out for work.
Okay.
I just feel like we live in this framework where we're obsessed with don't establish precedent, don't do these certain things. And really, like, they don't make any sense. Like, if it's going to go well, you go through ups and downs. Like, we got in a fight halfway through the tasting menu, and then we went on a second date.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
What was the fight about?
I cannot get into it because it's so awkward.
Wait. No, come on.
I can't.
Make up. Change the little details.
The second thing I wanted to do.
This is my thing, though, is that it's not about precedent. Like, to me, it is not like, oh, like we're going to a tasting menu.
Right.
Again, it's about comfort. It's about like, I want to be somewhere where like it's comfortable, it's relaxed.
Yeah.
Like, there is something that is so generally not comfortable and relaxing about a tasting menu. There are the few. And there's also.
So this was a pretty casual tasting menu. This was like a really chill one, you know?
Okay.
A chill tasting menu. Does that exist?
The only thing I feel like I'm half decent at in the world is going with the flow and doing ridiculous things.
Yeah. Sure.
So I feel like if I'm doing a ridiculous thing, like I'm curious to see how someone does that ridiculous thing with me. You know, like I love I don't know. I love like buying a ticket for the wrong movie and sneaking into the one that sold out that I was. And like, if someone doesn't blink twice at that, yeah. I mean, but just like
hate
weird
rules.
Way,
I understand.
I hate rules.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I hate rules, and that's why I like a tasting menu.
Yeah. Yes. Right. Anyway, should we get into some eater editors?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Up first in our string of eater staffers, we have McGraw Wolfman, the head of development of Eater Video. Maybe my boss.
Definitely on paper.
McGraw, what do you recommend for first date culinary move?
I think that, like, I'm going to put it into a category of compatibility foods that I automatically know will work for me. And maybe this comes with, like, some eater knowledge and stuff and just being, like, more comfortable with food. But, like, the perfect first date food for me is oysters. Because it's, like, just slightly refined and slightly messy.
Yeah.
And I want to, like, go past the whole corny aphrodisiac thing. It's nothing to do with that. It's more. It's more so, like, for me, oysters are this beautiful thing.
You just haven't had enough. Okay,
no, no. It's this beautiful thing for me that is, like, this raw form of energy and food that we consume, like, year after year. And it also kind of unlocks this vulnerability in people, like, that maybe they're okay with kind of showcasing themselves in this slightly messy routine. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It kind of, like, reveals a little bit about, like, how conscious they are about, like, just projecting themselves on the world and if they're okay with, like, making a fool of themselves. So it kind of makes me almost at ease to, like, see someone's face, like, light up when I suggest oysters. It's also, like, but yeah, all this stems from a Pink Floyd documentary where Roger Waters was tripping on acid and talking about how much he loved oysters when I was a kid. So that's where most of that philosophy comes from. So, yeah.
All right, team. I feel like you're definitely going to have some thoughts about this.
Okay, oysters are disgusting. What do you do if your date... I mean, what do you do if your date is just like, I don't eat that?
Simple decision, I won't date them.
That's perfect.
Wow. I don't know. I just feel like there's a whole lot of more important deal breakers. That is wild to me that would be one.
For sure. I think I've worked it out for myself where it's not for everyone. That's the thing I wanted to recommend as well. This is a compatibility food for myself.
Sure.
That I've worked out over years, maybe. But it's the kind of thing where, you know, you have to find, like, something that you can't live without, that you want to see the other person embrace and, like, find joy in your life with. And for me, like, oysters is, like, always that kind of thing. Like, yep. I can't date someone who doesn't eat seafood. I can't date someone who probably doesn't get over the moon about oysters.
So, like, no vegetarians, no vegans, no kosher girls. Done.
But from what we've talked about this, and, like, I'm going to put words in his mouth, but sure. He understands there's maybe arguably the majority of people, I don't know how many people like oysters and don't, I'm guessing, throwing out a number that's probably a 50-50 split. He understands that he's throwing out maybe half of the potential people.
I mean, that's why I'm fascinated by it.
But if you come to terms with
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. No, I really respect that decision. I love a weird deal breaker.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah.
To me, that's the thing. To me, it's not weird at all. Like, I can't really deal with food restrictions on the other side of the table because I find so much joy from, like, eating food and things of that nature. And I'm not, like, I don't want to be pretentious about it or anything. And that's why oysters to me are a good representation of that, because you can get messy, but just messy enough.
What if someone was like, I've never really been into them, but, like, I'm down.
Totally cool. That's awesome too. Like, people who are willing to take a chance, that's another good sign I find in people, like, who's, you know, someone that has never had them before, but is willing to expand their palate.
How do you feel about, like, when you hear people like, I wouldn't date a vegan, like, I, you know, like, no vegans for me, no gluten free. That feels like you're being more of a dick in a sense. But
I think especially if you put that on your dating app profile, you're like, vegan swipe left. Like, OK, we get it. You've had a burger once. Like, I don't like that. Yeah.
I think, like, for sure, for me, like, part of the joy of, like, dating someone, being in a relationship is, like, going out to eat, sharing stuff. Mm-hmm. I like to try a lot of things. I get full really fast. So, like, you know, want to be able to order a lot and have another person share it. I don't know. But I have a lot of friends who, like, have eating restrictions. And, like, it's cool. Like, I would rather hang out with them than not.
Yeah. Just don't introduce them to McGraw.
I guess not. Yeah.
Oh, I have plenty of friends with eating restrictions.
Yeah.
But you just don't want to make out with them.
No, not necessarily.
Cool.
That's why we're friends.
He likes that oyster mouth.
Yeah. So gross.
All right, McGraw, thank you so much for stepping in.
Thanks for having me.
All right, up next we have Patty Diaz. Patty, you are the project manager at Eater.
Right.
But also, I would say, Patty, you are our most, probably our most legendary first date map writer. You are the go-to person to consult with for any kind of first date restaurant decision. And we know you have a pretty famous Patty move. What's your first date move?
Yeah, so I think after too many years maybe of whittling it down to one choice and being like, hey, let's go here, I sort of came up with this move to narrow down to three options and instead have them pick the final place.
Oh.
Super smart.
I like options.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's just, I mean, it takes pressure off me, the person who's picking the three, because I don't have to make the final decision. It takes pressure off the other person who will know that I'm happy no matter where we go because I picked those three choices. Presumably.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Do you start with a location? Is it like, okay, we're going to be in Crown Heights. Here's three options in Crown Heights. Or are they like geographically diverse?
Mm-hmm. Great question. I think it's key to like sort of establish either where people live or where people are coming from. Find a place that's sort of central or three places that are sort of central to everyone. You don't want to be like the dick who picks somewhere too close to you when the other person lives like another borough. Yeah, I think that's definitely key.
Mm-hmm. And what about food, Patty? No food? Food?
Oh, I say no food, but I'm not opposed to a bar with food.
Mm.
But I don't think it should be like the central, especially if it's someone you like hardly know.
Food question for you though. If you know, someone showed up to a date and they were like, "Hey, I'm kind of hungry. Do you mind if I smash some of this tapas?" Like, would you be bummed about that?
If that is how they phrased it, I'd be like, out, done, bye.
That's cool.
Is part of the move like making the person feel like they are part of the selection process? Like, is that, are you in some way trying to empower them a little bit?
I think it's more so like, let me see how this person handles a decision.
Because right.
What I hate is when it's like, hey, here are three choices, pick one. And they're like, oh, I don't know. They all seem okay.
It's like, no, I said pick one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm giving you as a present. You get to pick. Like,
yeah.
You've done all the work. He gets to feel like he contributed something, but did he really know?
Patty, are you ever like, great choice?
No. And I think, well, something that happens with me having the job that I have, I think people think that it's a test, but it's not a test. I think I've picked the three places, and I generally, whichever one he picks is fine because, you know, I pick them, so I'll be happy.
I like that. There's no wrong choice.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Patty, thank you so much.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks, guys.
Up next, we have Tim Forrester. Tim is from Eater Montreal, and Tim, you go on a fair amount of dates. What is your move?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure if I'm the right person to ask on this since a lot of them seem to be just single dates, but which means I'm very good or bad at first dates.
Yeah.
I have a few. I mean, this, I don't know if this sounds like, this is going to make me sound awfully like I'm trying way too hard, but I'm an advocate of the bar where you're sort of maybe a regular.
Ooh.
And you might get recognized. I don't mean recognized as like, oh, that guy works at Eater or something like that, because that's actually kind of insufferable, but where they're friendly and you can chat with them. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. I guess it can show the date your general social skills.
Yeah.
With
I love it. I love it. That's a great move.
Yeah. I think it sort of depends on what the bar is where you're a regular. Like if you're a regular at like Hooters.
That's your demographic. Maybe like if the person is excited that you're a regular at Hooters, then maybe you've met
well,
your match.
Well, yeah. I mean, speaking of like Hooters and adjacent restaurants, yeah. Do I call it a restaurant? I guess.
Restaurant? You could.
I am the expert on Tallywhackers, which was the attempt to make a Hooters with guys, and it was called a Chesterant.
Yes. Perfect.
That's amazing.
Well, speaking of, I feel like you could try to like craft an experience, and picking something that's sort of deliberately awful could maybe do that.
Yeah.
It'd have to be the right kind of person, though.
Would you do it with a stranger?
Yeah, I don't think I'd do it with someone where I had not had much engagement with them. But maybe if I'd had a slightly longer like dating app conversation and had a strong feeling that was their vibe.
I will say that I went on a really great first date to the Hard Rock Cafe in Times Square.
Wow.
Obviously, ironically, I was like 19. We're like, oh my God, we're so cool. Yeah. We're doing this totally ironically.
Yeah.
And we got I Heart New York t-shirts. It was a lot of fun.
Wow. But I think let's pull out the nugget here, which is that one of the worst things you can do is go somewhere where you're not comfortable with the seating practices, because like the worst kind of experience is where you meet the person and you're just standing around being like, hi, this is the first time we're meeting. I think they're going to have a few seats in a second. Do you want me to grab a drink? I'll just go get one from the bar and then you just stand here for a bit. I don't know. We can just stand here, which is just like you need to know.
Also, love a bar seat. I think with a first date, it's like a little, I still think it's a better option than a table, but like second date, and so forth. So lovely. Want to be at a bar? You can touch knees.
Wow.
It's like cozy and sweet. I don't know. And you can like sometimes have a rapport with the bartender. Like that I love.
And the bartender's a buffer if it's awkward.
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. Which I mean, I don't think bartenders actually appreciate, but too bad.
It's an option.
Yeah, they'll come in and save you if they can tell it's going bad.
Yeah. Well, Tim, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Up next, Steph Tudor, senior editor at Veter New York. Steph, talk about your first date culinary moves.
Hello.
All right. Relax.
Okay. Well, I used to always make the guy pick because I wanted to use it as like an information point about him. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that most people will be in this situation, but guys were always really hesitant to pick for me because I work at Eater. And they found it intimidating, they told me. But for me, it was like another option for me to learn something about them and their style.
Did that work? Did you get some information about some guys?
Yeah, but usually it was bad information. Like, I would be like, ugh, they picked there. Yeah.
Give me an example of a bad one.
Just like any generic bar on like the Upper East Side, or I mean, if it was in Murray Hill, I'd be like, bye. Yeah.
Just no creativity.
No creativity. I always ended up going to places that I had no interest in going to. And honestly, all of our time is very limited. There are too many places already that we all want to try. And so I totally nixed that. And then I just became like a date czar and made all the picks myself because I was like, you know what? I have a certain number of places that I need to try that I want to try. And so why not go and try them with someone? I also think that like, okay, let's just say dating sucks. I mean, it just does until finally it doesn't. But why should you take that time when you're like, I feel like such a cynic, but take that time when you're most likely going to be sitting across from someone that like you really don't like and also be at a place that you really don't like or care about being at. And so I think, like, try to set yourself up for success.
You might as well have one win.
Yeah, you might as well have one win. Like, don't let the whole night be a fail.
Yeah.
And, like, go somewhere that you feel excited and jazzed about, because that'll just make you feel a little more excited and jazzed about sitting across from someone and asking them the same questions that you ask everyone else.
Right. Have you noticed, like, a surge in people talking about, like, oh, let's go for natural wine? Like, do you find that people say that to you at all?
I am off the market now, so I don't know, but I would say that I, at the time when natural wine was something that I've been interested in now for years, and so I was always really excited about it, but I think that, you know, I was going for, like, men who probably weren't, like, that up on the latest things. And so, no, natural wine was not something that they often were even familiar with.
All right. So basically your advice is stop trying to test people. Just go to the place you want to go to, because you might as well get something out of the experience, even if it's not a quality connection.
And I think it also shows something off about you on the flip side of things.
All right, Steph. Thank you so much for stopping in.
Good luck out there, everyone.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Up next, James Park, to talk about what is your first date culinary move. You are a big culinary fan. Food brings you love. You love food. It completes your heart. So I imagine this has something to do with food.
I think that's why it actually plays against me a lot of times. So I don't necessarily have like pro moves, but I have don't do this kind of a thing because from my previous mistakes. So one of my very first dates, I was like that poor college student. I didn't really understand like... You know, like taking someone to a restaurant was a great first impression. I basically chose a place where I didn't have to spend a lot of money, where I also liked the food. So I guess I wasn't kind of making it clear to the guy. So he showed up as if we were going to like a really nice sit down restaurant or something. But I took him to Urijib, which is like in K-Town, you know, cafeteria, like buffet by pound, like super loud. And I took him there like, is this where we're eating? And I was like, yeah. And like, I just kind of like went on and like, it's not necessarily a good place to like make the first impression or kind of like have a sexy romantic time on your first time. So
that's like an amazing second date though.
It is a great second date, but like, I wouldn't recommend doing that for the first date or at least make it clear. Like it sort of felt like a little upgraded whole food buffet by pound. Which you would never do.
Yeah.
You know? So don't do that.
What about Korean barbecue? What about something with some activity?
Ooh, those would be like
what
great...
you said to me when I asked you if you had advice, you said get handsy.
So there's a lot of like pro moves that you can do with communal food. So if I don't know whether you watch K-drama, but there's a lot of scenes that involve food when like two people are sort of like having something. You know, something's going on. They go to a restaurant. So let's say whether that's Korean barbecue or hot pot or any sort of things that involves a lot of like hands. I've seen a lot of like drama scenes from K-drama that like, let's say that they're at a hot pot or like Korean barbecue. So the guy always cooks it and put it on the girl's plate so the girl doesn't have to do anything. Or when the guy kind of make a little lettuce like wrap for the girl and like the girl opens her mouth and it's like,
oh my God.
And then, like, you know, just like first, I mean, not in a sexual way,
but
it's like, I am doing all the work for you so that you can just eat. And like, that's like the moments, like, the girl looks at the guy, I'm like, oh my God, like, he's so thoughtful. And things like, you know, if someone like deshells shrimps for me, I'm like, oh, you are so kind. And like, I feel like those little things, you know, food moves can really take it to like, you know, we are seeing each other to like, ooh, let's have a night, you know.
But these are just things you've seen on TV.
No, it's not just this is what people do. Like, this is how I felt. It's from my personal experience as well. And like, I've seen a lot of my friends telling me that like, you know, things happen at the restaurant.
Yeah. I thought you were gonna say like you both reach for like the skewer and like your hands touch and like. But this, I mean, you know what? I love someone to cook for me as someone who doesn't cook and like really is like, I don't know how to deal with this. Yeah.
Okay, but what about someone like? Would you ever explain what the Somme wrap was to someone? On like, do you think that is a good date move? Being like, this is the Somme, like this is how you wrap Korean.
Yeah,
this is how you should
because,
do Korean
like,
barbecue.
There's an activity there. So I think if you are at a compared to like pasta restaurant where you just like, you know, fork around, but. compared to that, like if you're at the Korean barbecue, there's something that you constantly have to do, whether like making a lettuce som. So if this person has never been at Korean barbecue, I would not date, but if that person it's kind of new to it, like you can talk about it, you can show your knowledge, and you can kind of like, I think like there's a lot of awkward moments during the first dates, and if the food can kind of take a part of your conversation and keep both of you entertained, I think that's a great first date.
Well, James Park, thank you very much for your moves.
Great.
So we've heard from eater editors, we've heard everyone, the moves in general, but I thought what better way to wrap this up than to hear from head bartender of Existing Conditions, Jack Schramm. Hi, Jack.
Hi, Dan. How are you?
I'm great. Not only do you run probably my favorite bar in the city.
Thank
my
you.
Favorite bar in the city. But I used to live very close to where you guys operate. No person on the planet has seen me on more dates and actually more first dates than you.
It's been quite a few.
Long shot. Yeah, it's been quite a few. So the reason I like existing conditions in general, but also as a first date bar, is the drinks I thought were were generally acceptable and like were crowd pleasers, but also each one is intricate, has some menu items, like some ingredients that you wouldn't expect, served in interesting ways. So there are things to talk about.
Yeah, you really nailed it. You know, it's unpretentious service, but stuff we put a lot of work into.
Yeah, and I have my whole rant that I go on about how I think you guys are idiots because so much of your shit is like genius and actually happens in the back and no one really realizes how much goes into your drinks.
Oh, man. Yeah. So much time in centrifuges. So many spins all is constantly spinning.
But I have been on some dates there where, I don't know. Well, what do you think?
They've not gone well. And I don't think it's any fault of the bars that they've not gone well, because I see a lot of really good first dates and a lot of people vibing and having a great time. I hate to break it to you, but there's really only one common denominator between all of the first dates that I've seen you go on, and it's, frankly, it's you.
It's that one corner seat?
Yeah.
What do you think goes wrong for me when you've seen it go poorly?
When you are in front of me and I'm making your drinks and I try and tune it out because it's a weird, like I try not to listen too closely to any individual conversation unless they're like wildly funny. I did have a first date that was going so poorly that the woman like exhaled deeply like, what's your favorite color?
Oh my gosh.
It's like, yes. Yeah. Yes. This is the level of discourse that I need in front of me at all times.
Yeah. I think that I, especially if I'm drinking, I get too animated. I start doing
you
voices.
Do get excited.
And characters.
Which
and
is
I get
good because that's you. That's who you are as a person. Yeah. And if you're not going to put that on display right away.
Yeah.
Then, and you know,
what am I doing?
Exactly.
But I always love when you're bartending, because like I always, another rant I go on is about how I feel like you're one of the few people I would list who I can't really crack with my sense of humor. Like it doesn't really land on you, and you do this kind of like half fake fuck you smile where you just look at me and smile, and I'm like, I can't break this guy, and no girl is charmed by that. They're
and
like,
I'm
why
just
you,
like,
why
I'm,
are you talking? Leave him alone. He's got so many.
He's
fucking
at
people
work. He's got four tickets.
Yeah,
there, you know, two other people next to you need drinks.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So that's what, I mean, I'm just a warm, friendly, fuzzy, energetic guy.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't think you're necessarily doing anything wrong. I just think you haven't found the right person.
I mean, you remember there was one I went on, I specifically remember it, where she didn't like a single drink on the menu.
Oh, yeah. And it happens. And
what the hell?
You know, we want to make people happy.
Yeah.
And are happy to make something off the menu that's, you know, to someone's exact specifications, whatever they want, because ultimately we're in the business of pleasing people.
Yeah.
So if you aren't interested in the menu cocktails, that's absolutely fine. I'm happy to make you a tequila soda.
Sure.
You know, whatever you want.
What are some signs that a date is going well? And like, what are you looking for?
Is this a date that I am witnessing or a date that I am on?
Ooh, well, let's take witnessing first.
All right. Laughter is good, generally.
If it's just me laughing?
Then it's not as good, but if it's both people laughing, you can tell just from the way that people are looking at each other, you know, like the knowing glances, the casual physical touch, like, you know, like a shoulder slap. You know, it's just like a vibe. Like people start glowing when you can tell that they're excited about a person.
Yeah.
And it becomes obvious, and then it makes my job super easy because they're so engaged with each other. It's just finding the right moment to interject in their conversation to see if they need something else without being overbearing.
Is that something that takes practice?
Absolutely.
How do you feel like you've learned that kind of skill?
It's a combination of watching other bartenders, like just sitting at bars. Like there is this dude, Tom Richter, was like left such an impression on me when I used to go visit him at Dear Irving, because he just commands the space.
Yeah.
I was having a conversation with someone and he just put his face like yeah. in the face and said, "What's next?"
Yeah.
And I was just like, okay, I'm, yeah.
You say what's next.
It's my favorite thing to say.
Okay.
Because this is, I learned what's next from John DeBerry because it's just open-ended enough because the answer is not always another drink. And it doesn't have to be.
Yeah.
It can be, we're going to leave. We want some food. I want to think about it a little bit. Like yeah. it leaves it open while still allowing for, you know, a transaction to take place.
Yeah. What are some other bad date things you see happening?
Oof. I mean, I try to tune them
silence.
Out. Yeah. Mostly silence is a bad sign.
Mm-hmm.
There was a date in front of me at the bar, and the dude was wearing a watch. And upon closer inspection, it didn't have hands or tell time. It just said now.
Stop it!
And it was just like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh.
But you know what?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody would be into that.
The
performative spirituality is a
real
thing.
The person who was on this date is a friend of the bar. And she told him, you can leave. I'm going to stay here with my friends.
Yeah. Holy shit.
It was great. It was beautiful.
And he was like, all things that come are things that come.
No, he's like, okay.
He's like, I got somewhere to be anyway. Looks at his watch.
Oh, yeah. I'm late.
What basic moves would you recommend to someone who is going to have a date sitting in a bar? Like, get there early?
If you can make a reservation, that's a solid move. But not necessarily get there early. Like, I feel like just the amount of thought that people are putting into this sounds like the issue.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're interacting with someone that you're interested in. That's the event. Like, you're excited to talk to a person. So just talk to the person.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to plan this whole elaborate maneuver.
Right.
There's no secret to going on a date. It's just
be chill.
Chat with, yeah, just be a human being.
Yeah.
I think is the best advice. Be yourself. Don't try to be anyone else and see if you vibe with this person.
Sure. Logistics question. In terms of like the layout of a bar, let's say you have an L-shaped bar.
Yes.
Where do you recommend
the best
sitting?
Possible seats are the L, the corner.
The two little ones?
Yeah, the two like around that corner because you get to look at each other, but you also can survey the space.
Yeah.
You can be aware of what's going on around you, but are still mostly focused on the person that you're with. So I always recommend sitting at a corner if you can. Because side by side is great, but, you know, then you're like turning constantly. And
it's amazing how much I can tell about how I feel in a situation, because if I'm chill, if I'm if I'm feeling comfortable, I'm not thinking about like my hand position or anything.
Yeah. Body language is huge.
But if I'm uncomfortable, I'm always like, why is my hand resting on my chin? Like Socrates, relax.
And I think, if it's not a super crowded bar and you have a little bit of room to spread out, like not spread out, like don't use more of the space than you should be using, 'cause that's disrespectful to the guests around you and the space itself, but open up your body language if you're sitting side by side at a bar. Like, even turn 90 degrees and actually face the person.
Yeah.
I think that says a lot about where your focus is. It's not...
You're such a better person than I am. It's driving me insane. It's fine, though.
It took years of watching people fail to learn how to succeed.
Yeah.
And failing myself.
Yeah.
So, and I'm still learning. That's important, too, is, you know, think about yourself and your actions and how they affect other people and then grow and change.
And what about sharing drinks? I feel like maybe it's just me, but that's something that I've noticed people are more okay with now. And maybe it's just because I grab everyone's drinks. I'm like,
I'm going to taste
this.
Yeah,
right.
If they're someone's not up for sharing, that's not cool.
One of my moves at a cocktail bar is I like to sit and order three drinks and then just like have them be communal.
Yeah, like for a group of three or for a group
of two.
I mean, that's great if you're under a time crunch, but I want to feel like if I'm on a date, the focus is not necessarily the product you're consuming, but it's the person that you're with.
Oh, God. Yeah.
So I think you may fall into the trap of focusing a little bit on
my biggest problem is I get more excited when there's a new drink on the menu.
See, you're not dating people. You're dating existing conditions. That is what you're going on dates with.
Yeah.
So that's fine. But that just means you're a regular at a bar, which is a great thing.
Yeah.
Because you're it's a very good bar.
Anyone who hasn't been to Existing Conditions, please go there. But don't love it as much as you love the person you're there with, all right? That's
you're welcome to love it that much. I would be very happy if you did.
That's Jack's advice. Go to the bar, care more about other things.
Talk to the person that you're with. Enjoy a delicious cocktail.
Leave Jack alone.
Don't leave me alone. No, come and yell at me about whatever you want at any time.
See if you can make Jack laugh.
I'm behind the bar
basis.
Friday, Saturday, and Sunday nights.
If you can make Jack laugh on a consistent basis, please DM me. Let me know how. Let me know what kind of humor he likes. I'm just looking to break this man, and it's frankly, it hasn't even worked.
Oh, man. I'm just looking to break this man, Dan Janine. Terrific stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming in.
Of course.
Appreciate it. Amanda, happy Valentine's Day
to
you.
Happy Valentine's Day, Dan.
What are you doing tonight?
Oh, man. Well, I mean, from a professional perspective, it's the worst night to go out to dinner at a restaurant.
Let's talk about that because...
won't be doing that.
Well, there's just such a huge demand for...
amateur hour.
Oh, right. What do they call it again?
Amateur hour.
That's what they call it? I feel like there's restaurant lingo for Valentine's Day. Oh, what do they call it?
We used to have a feature and we would call it like Black Friday, if it was a Friday, or Black Wednesday.
It's like burgers and nuggets or something. I don't know,
but I'm now curious.
All the restaurants that are cool and buzzy all do these silly tasting menus, which are
so bad.
They're just their menu, but you get a glass of champagne and it's like twice the price. I understand why. It's just a huge demand night where everyone is looking for the right restaurant recommendations.
They have to go out.
So I get it. You know, get your money. But as a just a diner.
My husband's going to be in Philadelphia.
Oh, no.
So
Valentine's Day alone?
I mean, sounds fine to me. So I'm probably going to drink some wine and watch TV.
Okay.
Sounds like a blast.
Sounds like a blast.
I mean, usually on Friday nights, I'm writing my newsletter, so I'll probably be doing that too.
Hey, subscribe to Amanda's newsletter.
Do it.
Amanda Clute newsletter. Google Amanda Clute newsletter, you'll get
it. It should come up.
I'm sure it's in the show notes too. Thank you so much for listening. We will be back next week with more, probably.